sort of like Paul, my goal in my homily today isn't to shake anyone out of your minds suddenly. I hope I don't do that. But I do want to talk about something that I think is important. This week begins a week that we honor, that we've had for the last many, many years in the church, called Vocation Awareness Week. And we all know there are many, many different kinds of vocations. Everyone here has a vocation. And many of you are living out that vocation in the married life, some in the single life, and some in other ways. But I would like to talk specifically today about priestly vocations. I don't think that what I'm going to share with you will surprise anyone. Now, these are by my counts. Now, you'll probably say, because you get stuff from the diocese all the time, they mess up everything over there. They don't get my address right. They don't get my name right. They don't get this right. They don't get that right. When you say they, this is who you're talking to, okay? So they is me, all right? So by my count, which could very easily be wrong, but I don't think it's too far off, we currently have 51 active diocesan priests, and that means they're not senior or retired priests. I started in the job, there was 57, so that's in 4 years' time. That number includes several priests, such as our neighbors, both that way and south of us, who are facing very serious health problems. We currently have 14 retired or senior priests who help out in various ways in our parishes and other places where the sacraments need to be celebrated, such as at the Hollidaysburg Veterans Home, where Monsignor Przybocki, who I think is about 86 at this point, is still doing three masses a weekend. The average age of our active diocesan priests is 58. Our retired priests who are still active have an average age of 82 and a half. We are also currently served by 29 religious priests. Now, that doesn't mean that the diocesan priests aren't religious. What it means is, when you are a religious priest, you follow a regula, a rule, and that rule turns you into a community. And so the religious priests serve in various capacities, but especially as pastors in our diocese, and we're very grateful to them. They're sort of on loan from their communities, who can take them back at any time. So we're just glad to have them with us for as long as we have them. They are Benedictines, Heralds of the Good News, Capuchin Franciscans, Conventual Franciscans, Order of Friars, Minor Franciscans, and Third Order Regular Franciscans. Now, we have, by my count, 87 parishes over an 8-county area. Now, we have, 51 active priests and 87 parishes. You getting the idea? We have a little bit of a problem, okay? What's more alarming is that the most recent ordinations to the priesthood in our diocese were 2.5 years ago, and we ordained 2 at that time. We will not have any ordinations for another year and a half, and then it will be a maximum of 2 men. So things are pretty dire on the vocation, the priestly vocations front. This has led to some thinking about what are some short-term solutions to this problem. One thing might be, let's bring in more foreign-born priests. Now, that tends to work if we have the ability to make it happen, but it requires a lot of patience on the part of our people, because we would be bringing in people from cultures that are very unfamiliar with our country in many ways, and who have to be listened to very carefully. It's not an easy thing for the folks in our diocese to be able to adapt themselves to. Our neighbors to the west in Greensburg have gone that route, and they have been very successful in bringing in a lot of priests from the Philippines. Another way to handle this might be to bring in more religious priests. Our bishop has done that. He invited the community, the Capuchin Franciscans, to come to our diocese, and they currently have 4 priests living here. We're very grateful to them because they cover a number of parishes for us, and without them, we would be in deep trouble. Another way we can do it is to basically tell the priests that we do have that they have to do more. So most of our priests currently have at least two jobs. I can remember a day when one parish might have three and four guys living there. Now one guy has two and three and four parishes sometimes. There was one of the things that has become very difficult, I know from my other job, is that it's very hard for priests to find coverage so that they can get away. And as a result, they don't spend the time they should with recreation and spiritual renewal, the sorts of things that give us life as priests and as human beings. And so what happens? They get sick. Not a good scene. Why are we in this mess? Well, there are many, many, many different causes, just a few of them that came to my mind. You would be hard-pressed. A group of priests is known as a presbyterate, because we're actually presbyters, so presbyterate refers to the grouping of priests. You would be hard-pressed to find in the entire world a presbyterate that has a worse reputation than the presbyterate of Altoona Johnstown. We have really managed to make world headlines, and I suspect we're known to Rome for very bad reasons. So that is not a good way to attract people to the priesthood. We have had, in addition to that, a cataclysmic loss of faith in the West. There are places in Europe where the faith is almost completely dead, and it's dying in our country. Things are not good for Christians right now in the West. Another thing that has happened, and I think that had we listened back in 1968 to Pope St. Paul VI, we might be in different shape now. He wrote a very famous, infamous encyclical called Humanae Vitae, and he predicted that because of the rise of a contraceptive mentality, we would not have children much anymore. Well, guess what? Part of the reason we don't have vocations is because we don't have children. And finally, and I think this may be the most important reason, that at least in my experience, and it pertains to me, those like me who have leadership positions have not always been very respectful of the vocations that God has given. They are a very precious thing. And the church leadership, of which I am a part, has not always treated them very respectfully. And I'm not sure God continues to give such precious gifts when he sees that they're not being treated well. Now, there are some proposed solutions to, like, how could we raise up more priests that are sort of long-term solutions? And maybe this would work, and maybe that would work. And you, I know, have heard many of them. One of them that's proposed so many times these days is, let's change the laws of the church regarding celibacy. That would surely give us more vocations. To that, I would only say, we live in Altoona Johnstown Diocese. That means we live in a diocese where we also have Orthodox priests and Eastern Catholic priests, both of whom have always had a married priesthood. And what can we say about their vocations? Not too good. And then we have the problem that, for instance, our neighbors in Pittsburgh, the Eparchy of Pittsburgh, have faced of trying to place married priests in parishes. Not a very easy thing to do, because they're very, very expensive. Well, another solution is, let's ordain women. That would certainly help us. Except we live in the Diocese of Altoona Johnstown, where we have the Episcopal Church, the Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, and you can go on and on and on, all of whom have women in their clergy. And what do they all have? A vocation problem. I don't think those are the easiest. They look good on paper sometimes, and they sound good. I'm not sure they really work. Another solution that I hear from time to time is, let's realize that Vatican II was a mistake and turn back the clock. That surely will bring vocations back. Now, buy it for a second. Oh, it'll interest some people, especially pretty intelligent folks, who can understand Latin and have an attraction to that, but I'm not sure that's going to reach out and do much for anyone else. I have a problem with that. Don't think it's going to work. What's the issue? Well, to my mind, at least one of the main issues is that I don't know if we priests know who we are anymore. I think there was a day, like back in the Middle Ages, when if you were a priest, you were like on top of the pile. The community needed you. You were the one they went to for healing. You were the one they went to for counseling. You're the one they went to for any kind of intellectual question, any kind of theological question, any kind of government question. You were the one. That's a pretty cool place to be. And then gradually it started to change. And there were those who became very good at politics. There were those laity who became very good in various sciences and healing, and priests didn't need to be involved in that anymore. Yeah, but at least we were the ones who know something about theology. Ha, got you there. Except the places like Steubenville are cranking out lay theologians by the barrel load these days who know far more about theology than I certainly do, and who are much more gifted at that. So I'm not, well, at least I run the parish, darn it. Yeah, I guess I do, except I don't do a very good job of it. Not whenever you could run it a whole lot better, and the Vatican Council said you're supposed to. Wow, what is my job then? And I think it brings us back to what is it that a priest is supposed to do? And as I see it in Scripture, he has two jobs. One is he's to break open the Word of God and help people discover how their lives and God's plan fit together. That's one of his primary jobs. And I think a second job we get if we look at words that are used of Jesus minimally 10 times, maybe 12 times, you could argue, in the New Testament. The same words every time that Jesus took, he blessed, he broke, and he gave. We're going to hear those very words in just a little bit. He took loaves and fish. He took bread and wine. He blessed. He broke. He gave. This is what a priest is supposed to do. You take the gifts that the people of God offer. We're going to see that in just a minute. Those gifts aren't just bread and wine. They represent your entire life and my life. And we place those on the altar. And over those, we call down God's blessing through a great prayer of thanksgiving, a Eucharistic prayer. And they are changed. They're broken because it's only by being broken that Christ was able to open for us the way to the resurrection. Our lives, too, have to be broken in some way. If they're not broken, we won't get to the resurrection. And then, having been so transformed, the gifts are given back to the people who presented them. But this time, as the body and blood of Jesus Christ offered in sacrifice to the Father. Now, I guess the question is that important to us? And I think if it is, then we have to say, well, by goodness, there should be someone to do that. That person is the priest. I think there may be people in this community right now who are being called to do that by God. Not a very glamorous role anymore, but an absolutely essential one in our community. If you agree with me and you know someone you think should be a priest, or at least check it out, how about getting a hold of me? My information's in the bulletin. Contact me. I'd like to know who that is so that I can talk to the person. I do believe that this vocation issue is something we all have to work with. The saddest thing to me would be to think that God had given that precious vocation to someone and they didn't figure it out. I can't imagine the interior difficulties they would face later in their life because they missed the peace that God could give them in a vocation. That's what we need to find and help people in our parish to determine. So please, if you know of someone who's in that position, let me know, so that I can try to help them too, and to discern which way God is calling us. You know, the priest may not be very glamorous, but it is still a life that brings a great deal of peace.